नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादिशुधारिणे हरे कृष्णा। सो वाज डिनर लिटिल लेट टुडे?
They
served late. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I hope you all are enjoying. How you all are enjoying the Brihad Bhagavatam?
Very good.
Yeah. So, okay. And as I told you earlier, that I'm actually giving you just the overview. But to relish it properly, you have to read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita yourselves. Make it a point to read them. And I think Juteshwari was already reading it. Were you reading it when? I see. You are so absorbed in your mobile device,
no,
iPhone.
I was making notes for my.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, I mean, sometimes,
there's
you know.
Writing for me.
Yeah, okay, very good. No, actually, what I thought is that probably, as I was describing your consulting Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam in your iPhone.
There's no data.
Okay. But Brihad Bhagavatam Ritam is available in Vedavish? Yeah, right. In Vedavish. Yes, Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu's translation. Yeah, I'm also following his translation. It's a beautiful translation. He was a very talented devotee. That is also another glory of Srila Prabhupada. Some of Prabhupada's American disciples who never studied Sanskrit in college, but they mastered the language. Like Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu, he's American. He didn't study Sanskrit in school or university, but he mastered the language so expertly. Unfortunately, he left this planet. And this is one of his brilliant contribution to ISKCON, translation of Brihad Bhagavatamritam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam also, he was the main translator. Prabhupada did up to 13th chapter of the 10th canto. And the remaining 10th canto and the 11th and 12th canto was the contribution of Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu. And another brilliant person was Krushakrata Prabhu. He translated so many books from Sanskrit, direct from Sanskrit into English. And he also didn't have any formal training on Sanskrit language. So what does it indicate? It's carrying on from the previous life. It was there. There must have been Sanskrit scholars in the previous lives. And in this life also, they displayed such scholarship without proper training. And in this way we can also see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent these devotees to assist Srila Prabhupada. They are not ordinary devotees, very special personalities. So, okay, I'm happy to know that you all are enjoying this narration of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I'll admit one thing. This morning I was feeling so sleepy during the class. At one time I even thought that maybe I should dismiss the class and tell you all. But by Krishna's mercy I could continue. And I asked some devotees afterwards, and they told me that no one, they didn't notice. Sometimes it happens. I didn't really think that it would happen, because when I came to the class, I was feeling okay. But when I started to give the class, and actually I got up quite early this morning. I generally get up early, 2:30, 2 o'clock, 2:30. But then I take some rest afterwards. But today I didn't take rest also. Because there was so much GBC work to do. And there is one, to give you an idea, there is one paper on hermeneutics. I don't know what, you know, what is hermeneutics? Hermeneutics is, it's actually a Christian concept which tells you how to study Bible. Similarly, we are actually getting into the thing like how to study Srila Prabhupada's books. Questions do come up that, like, for example, some so-called scholarly individuals are raising questions like, Prabhupada, when Prabhupada speaks the scriptures, then it is, we have to take it one way. But when Prabhupada speaks other things, which is not really based on scripture, then should we take it with that absolute with that absolute concept? And for the last 5 years, this topic is going on. It's not 5 years, 6 years, 7 years actually. It started off in September 2011. The GBC came up with 20 questions, and a committee was formed to deal with that. And 2013, they made a presentation. And now a committee called the Shastric Advisory Committee of the GBC, they came up with 135 pages presentation. And it is not like reading Srimad Brihad Bhagavatam. It's a real critical reading, you know, like you have to not only read, but read between the lines, you know, what is the consequence of this statement. So, anyway, actually, when I deal with those things, I feel that reading Brihad Bhagavatamritam, giving a class on Srimad Brihad Bhagavatamritam, is a recreation. So, anyway, all glory to Brihad Bhagavatam. Nana shastra vichare naika nipuno sadharma sansthapako.
Nana shastra vichare.
The gap is too long. Nana shastra vicharinai kanipuno sadharma sansthapako.
Nana shastra vicharinai kanipuno sadharma
lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane manno saranna karo
lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane
radha krishna padarvinda bhajana Nandena Mataliko
Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Nandena Mataliko.
Once again, Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Nandena Mataliko. Radha
Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana.
Very good. Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghujugo Shri Jiva Gopalako. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghujugo Shri Jiva Gopalako.
Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghujugo
Shri Jiva Gopalako. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghujugo Shri Jiva Gopalako.
Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghujugo Shri Jiva Gopalako.
Jai Shri Shri Shad Goswami Prabhupad ki jai. Srila Prabhupad ki jai. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Adishatari. Hare Krishna. Try to fill your time with spiritual activities like glorifying Krishna and you covered this one. Okay. So, well, one way of looking at it is, you see, that we all are moving on time. Do you realize that? Time is like a river. And it's flowing, constantly flowing. Time is flowing. Do you realize that? The time is constantly flowing. Now in a river, you can go two ways. You can flow with the stream, with the current, then that flow is easy. But then you go against the current, that's very difficult. Our materialistic activities are like going upstream, going against the current. With time, we are not flowing, but we are actually trying to flow on the other direction. But when you do spiritual thing, then you are flowing towards the stream, and where the current is flowing, time is flowing, time is coming from Krishna and going back to Krishna. So when you flow with the current of the stream, then you move towards Krishna. Whatever you do, it is a progress towards that, going towards that destination. So with that in mind, use your time. Utilize your time. Like, will you spend your time in Prajalpa? Will you spend your time in all kinds of mundane activities? Will you spend your time for your sense gratification? Or will you spend your time being absorbed in Krishna Katha? Being absorbed in remembering Krishna's pastimes? Being absorbed in serving Krishna? Being absorbed in spreading the glory of Krishna? So, you have two choices. Either you move towards Krishna through these activities, or you go against time, and as a result of that you generate your karmic reactions and you get stuck. What a struggle, right? So is it clear? So which way will you go? Upstream or downstream? Very intelligent conclusion. Thank you. So this morning, up to what extent we discussed? Oh, that was Ratha Jatra. Yeah. Right. And that was a side story I gave you. Yeah, okay. So I would like, actually what happened, Krishna didn't get up. It was quite late in the morning, Krishna didn't get up. So when Narad Muni came there, he found that they all are very gravely sitting there silently. Uddhav, the queens, Balaram, Devaki, Vasudev, Satyabhama, Rukmini, they all are very concerned that Krishna didn't wake up. And Rukmini mentioned about Krishna's condition, that at night Krishna speaks about, calls out to the residents of Vrindavan, as if at night Krishna goes to Vrindavan. His mind goes to Vrindavan. And then Satyabhama pointed out that not only at night, during the day also, Krishna's mind is not here. Krishna is somewhere else. So, and then Rohini Devi, Balaram's mother, she also was in Vrindavan. So she kept on telling them how they didn't go to Vrindavan actually. None of them, only Uddhav went to Vrindavan. But, and Balaram of course. But the queens didn't know about Vrindavan. Mother Devaki didn't know about Vrindavan. So Mother Rohini started to describe that the devotees in Vrindavan are so fond of Krishna that if they don't get to see Krishna even for a moment, like say when Krishna is, there is a tree between. Krishna is on the other side of the tree, they're walking, and for a moment that they couldn't see Krishna because the tree was there, they feel so dejected that they started to, that even for that momentary inability to see Krishna, they put them into great anxiety, and they call out, Krishna, Krishna, where are you? So that is how eager these devotees of Vrindavan, this is how they are attached to Krishna. And during the daytime, Krishna goes to take care of the cows in the forest. So during the daytime, the residents of Vrindavan cannot see Krishna, apart except only the cowherd boys. And they think that the day becomes the night of devastation. That the day comes to them as a, as if it's a night of devastation. End of the universe. And they consider a wink of an eye, when the eyes blink, to be a millennium. We have it from Shikshashtakam, right? Jugaitang nimeshena prabrisha chakshusha prabrishaitam shunnaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahinami. So here it's described. Let's see how beautiful. For those who live in Braja, daytime is like the black night at the end of the universe. And a blink of an eye, a millennium. In such a state, they look at the sun and the trails of dust on the road again and again and listen for the sound of the flute. They look at the sun, when the sun is going to set. And Krishna will come back home after tending the cows. And they look again and again towards that direction, hoping to see that the dust is flying for the cows returning home and Krishna's flute, sound of Krishna's flute. Every day Krishna takes his elder brother with him and goes out into the various forests, eager to enjoy with the herds of cows and wander about in the company of his many friends. He lets the cows graze, and Krishna spends his time with his friends. And in those forests there are beautiful lakes. Those lakes are filled with lotuses. There are two types of lotus. One type of lotus blooms during the day, and there is another type of lotus that blooms during night. The ones that bloom during the day is called Kamal, and the one that bloomed at night is called Utpal. These are two types of flowers. And the whole atmosphere becomes fragrant with the aroma of those lotuses. It's very strange to actually, it's very, like lotuses used to have such fragrance. But now the lotuses don't have any fragrance. It looks beautiful, but no fragrance. But we are seeing how these qualities are disappearing due to the influence of Kali. I remember, when we were young, every rose used to be so fragrant. And now most of the roses don't have any fragrance. They look beautiful. Beautiful looking roses. Only some roses have some fragrance. And they're called Bengali roses. They are very red, and in Vrindavan they call it Bengali roses. And you may have seen those red roses they make garland with. They are very fragrant. But in just few years we can see how things are changing. Like when I was young, like I used to see, like every rose used to be so fragrant. And now barely any rose has any fragrance. And in the forest of Vrindavan, there flows the river Jamuna, the dearmost companion of the land of Braja. The picturesque splendor of that river, the daughter of Kalinda, astonishes the mind, the daughter of Jamaraj, Kalindi. And besides that, there are many other rivers also. They glisten with other rivers at the offsprings of hills like the Vindas, Vinda Mountain. The beautiful shores of the rivers are always heaped with soft sand and covered by newly grown grass. To those shores come many different kinds of charming animals and birds who put their natural enmity aside. In Vrindavan, all the animals forget their natural enmity and they drink the water of Jamuna without any fear. The cows, deers, and other animals drink at the same time. Lions, tigers, they also come, but they all are perfectly friendly with each other. So this is how Rohini Devi was telling them about Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan forest there is Govardhan Hill, and the whole area is free from violence and theft. There is no violence in Vrindavan. So one need not bother to watch the cows. They just let the cows graze, and the cows simply go out into the forest in the morning along with the other domestic animals like buffaloes and goats, and in the evening they all come back home. When Krishna heard that, Krishna felt very, very sad and very much worried about his devotees. Scorching anxiety dried up his lotus face. He was filled with dread because he was told how the devotees are feeling there in his separation. And he looked at the face of Balaram, who also knew the tidings of Braja, how the residents of Braja were feeling. And so hearing that, and when Krishna looked at Balaram, he saw that Balaram's shedding tears, he's crying also, hearing about Braja. Unable to keep his composure, remembering Braja and understanding his brother's mood, he began crying without control. But then he managed to speak distinctly. Balaram said, "Why speak only about the cows, dear Krishna? All the animals in Braja are your beloved friends, and so also are the birds and the trees like the Bhandira and the Kadamba. The grass, the creepers, the lush bushes have all dedicated their lives to you. Now they are all wasting away and so too are the rivers and mountains. Some of the people, dear brother, live only the hope that your promises were true, that you would come back sometime. You, Krishna, gave the promise, I'll come back soon. I can tell you only that if you don't show your kindness to them soon, Jamraj will show them his. Like, if you don't show your kindness to them, Jamraj will show his kindness to them. That means very soon they all are going to die. And he also told one thing, that you, since you have subdued and got rid of Kaliya, of his poison, only greatened their misery. If Kaliya's river was poisonous, then they could have gone to Kaliya and given up their bodies. But, you know, like, since you have banished Kaliya, got rid of Kaliya, so Jamuna also became rid of those, that poisonous effect. And in Braja, the river Jamuna has become dry. So I was also thinking, like, that's what is happening in actual Jamuna now. Jamuna has become dry, as if in separation from Krishna. And Govardhan is becoming shorter and shorter. The devotees who relish the nectar of your names cannot die of starvation. Instead, their end will come in a fire in a great dry forest. Because of the trees will become dry, there will be a forest fire. Although they cannot die out of starvation because they are chanting your name, but in the forest fire they will give up their bodies. Krishna became so overwhelmed with emotion hearing all that he grasped Balaram by the neck and shed a flood of tears like a person whose life is in ruin. As he cried with loud sobs in his beautiful voice, the tears washed away the cosmetics from his body. Krishna and Balaram then rolled on the ground and for a moment lost consciousness. Both of them fainted. Seeing the two lords crying in the unprecedented, lamentable state, all the residents of the inner palace lost control of themselves. They all came running. And Rohini, Uddhav, Devaki, Rukmini, Satyabhama, and all the rest, they all lost control and sobbed again and again. So, like, there was such a tumultuous sound of all of them crying, like it seemed like no one ever had experienced anything like that. And all kinds of inauspicious, hearing that sound, all the members from inside, Vasudev, Ugrasen, they all came and ran into the inner chamber of Krishna's. And when they saw that their beloved master in this extraordinary state, as they never had before, they too began to cry, overwhelmed. So that cry and this sad situation caused such an omen of inauspiciousness that Brahma became worried. What's happening? Like it seems like the creation is going to come to an end. What's happening? So Brahma came out running. And so he also then ran towards Dwarka along with all his associates, all the demigods and the Vedas and Puranas personified. And coming there, Brahma found his father, Krishna Narayan, in such a state, distressed by love for his beloved devotees. So Krishna, in that state, and seeing Krishna in that state, Brahma also started to cry. With difficulty, Brahma brought himself under control and started thinking of how to restore his Lord to normal. And then an idea came to him. And then he saw that Garuda also is crying. He came, got an idea, but to kind of execute that idea, he looked at Garuda and he saw Garuda also is crying. And so he tried to get Garuda's attention, but after a lot of effort, he managed to get Garuda's attention. And Brahma told him that, Garuda, there is another Vrindavan between Raivata mountain and the ocean. And in that place, which was created by Vishwakarma, there is Nanda, Jasoda, this just like Vrindavan, but it's the murti of those personalities. But they look exactly the same. They are not moving, but they are just exactly those personalities in Vrindavan. And the place also looks exactly like Vrindavan. There are cows, there are everything Brahma, Vishwakarma has created there. So Brahma told Garuda that quickly take them there. That's the only way to bring Krishna back to his senses. See, the situation, question may arise, like Krishna just fainted, why they are so worried? But the thing is, when somebody faints and there is no sign of life, what do you think? That the person is gone. So that was their anxiety, their feeling. And Brahma could understand what actually happened because he knew about Vrindavan. So Brahma actually decided to do something about it. And Brahma said that there is another Vrindavan here between Raivata hill and the sea, and Nanda, Yashoda and others are present within it in replica images with similar herds of cows. That Vrindavan constructed by Vishwakarma appears just like the Vrindavan of Mathura. And so he suggested that you carefully take Krishna and Balaram in the present state and gently carry them there. But only Rohini should go with them. No one else should go. And only if those who are going, like Vasudev, Devaki and others, Satyabhama and Rukmini, they should not come there. They should be hiding. And so he said that you take them, Krishna and Balaram, there. And so Garuda carried Krishna and Balaram to New Vrindavan. And by that time, Balaram regained his consciousness. Balaram more or less regained consciousness. And then Garuda and Balaram gently placed Krishna on a bed. And the gopas and gopis of Navavrindavan stood around him as if they were Krishna's real cowherd men and women. So all the residents were surrounding near Krishna's bed. Krishna was lying. They placed Krishna on the thing. And Balaram, then Uddhava came with Devaki, who dearly loved her son, and also with Rukmini, Satyabhama and other queens. And Padmavati. So Padmavati is Kamsa's mother, Ugrasen's wife. They simply couldn't leave Krishna in such a state. They came because they couldn't leave Krishna in such a state. But Brahma told them, please, don't go near him. Hide yourself. Being concealed and in a distant, you can watch what's happening. And Narad Muni started to wonder whether he is intruding into some intimate affairs. And feeling somewhat guilty, Narad Muni also placed himself on the sky. In one hand, he was feeling guilty. At the same time, he could not stop watching what's happening. So, hiding behind a cloud, Narad Muni also placed himself up in the sky. And Garuda went up and, spreading his wings, he was preventing the sun to cast his rays on Krishna. Then Garuda positioned himself even higher in the sky, invisibly following his master to provide shade with his wings. And by the time Balaram came back to his normal senses, and he understood what was, he understood the situation perfectly. So Balaram quickly cleansed his lotus face and that of his younger brother, and then he gently placed a flute in the waist of Krishna's dhoti and a buffalo horn and a stick in Krishna's hands. A garland of kadamba flowers around his neck, a peacock feather ornament on his head, and newly fashioned rings of gunja berries on his ears. So, dressing Krishna up in this way, Balaram tried to wake Krishna up. He lifted Krishna and then he loudly started to speak to him. Krishna, Krishna, my dear brother, get up, wake up from your sleep. Just see, it is now getting late. The cows are already entering the forest. Shridama and your other friends are here waiting for you. And your parents are so filled with love that they cannot even speak to you. These gopis are watching your lotus face and laughing at you as they whisper something in one another's ears. So all these replicas, the images, the murtis, they're placed in such a way as if gopis are whispering to each, to one another's ears. And in this way, Balaram filled the scene with talk. He called Krishna by his various names, caressed him and dragged him around in his arms until Krishna finally got up and came back to some sort of consciousness. Krishna opened his lotus eyes, smiled and quickly looked around. Seeing Nanda in front of him, he offered his obeisances. Then Krishna saw Mother Yashoda also standing nearby, her eyes open wide and unblinking as if pasted on her face. Laughing in joy, he lovingly spoke. Krishna started to tell Mother Yashoda, "Dear Mother, this morning during my sleep, I saw many amazing things in just a short moment, as if I were awake. I saw that I had gone from here to Madhupuri. There I saw wicked men like Kamsa slain, kings like Jarasandha vanquished, and the demigods satisfied. A great city called Dwarka was built on the shore of the ocean, and so many other things happened. But now, there isn't time enough to tell you about all of them. It's because of this long dream distracted me that I didn't get out of the bed on time like every other day. Dear respected, then he told Balaram, if you don't think this wonderful matter impossible, I'll explain it to you in detail when you go to the forest. Balaram, I also will tell you about all that I dreamt. Krishna offered respect to Mother Yashoda. Rohini Devi felt that Krishna may ask Mother Yashoda to give him the packet of food. So Rohini was very intelligent. She told Krishna, Krishna, since she was there, right? So because she was also in Vrindavan. So she said, Krishna, because your mother was in such anxiety, she didn't cook anything today. Anyway, you go to the forest and I will prepare some food for you and I'll send it to you. So now, dear child, your mother has no other son but you. She was so worried today by your extra sleeping that now she feels a bit ill. So I think we have talked enough. And then, she said, I'll prepare some nice refreshments for you and send them to you in the forest. So Krishna has offered his respect to Rohini, who had spoken to him with such love. Then with a smile on his face, like a thief, he stealthily took from Mother Yashoda's hand the butter she was holding. Quickly stole the butter thief here. He then left to join his older brother, calling out his name. Generous Krishna did not eat this butter before reaching the cows. So Krishna didn't eat that butter, he was just holding. And on the way he met some of the gopis and enjoyed some joking talks. As Krishna was walking, playing his flute to keep the cows from wandering off, he then came upon Sri Radhika with her girlfriends and spoke to her with witty comments and charming smiles. When he met Radha, and Krishna told her, O mistress of my soul, why don't you speak to me, your devotee, whom you have now met in a secret place? What are you so busy with, my proud lady? How did I offend you that you are not talking to me? O omniscient one, you must know everything that happened today in my dream. Maybe you know what actually happened in my dream. I left you and went elsewhere. In that distant place, I married many princesses who had been preparing to end their lives. And I fathered sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons. Anyway, right now I have to go to the forest. Tonight at dusk, O bestower of satisfaction, you will enjoy with me. Having said this, Krishna threw a handful of flowers at Sri Radha, looked all around, and then embraced and kissed her. He then went ahead to meet the cows and cowherd boys. So in this way Narad Muni was seeing, everyone was seeing that how deep is Krishna's love for Srimati Radharani. And seeing Krishna in that way, all the queens became enchanted. They never seen Krishna in this way. And Satyabhama, who is very emotional, she just, with her arms stretched forward, she just wanted to run and embrace Krishna. So So Kalindi, she and Uddhava grabbed Satyabhama and Padmavati. Padmavati also became very emotional and wanted to embrace Krishna. So they were running after Krishna. So one of Krishna's wife, Kalindi, she knew, and Uddhava, knowing the understanding this gravity of the situation, they held them back. And in this way Krishna just went ahead, and coming onto the bank of the ocean, he thought that it was, the ocean was Jamuna. So he started to call all his friends to come and play in the river. Krishna called them, "My dear friends, where have you gone? Oh Sudama, Shidama, Subal, Arjun, happily come here quickly. We can let our cows drink water from this river Jamuna, and we can play as much as we want, swimming in her gently flowing clear cool water." And saying that, Krishna went farther, and there he saw that the mighty waves are splashing against the shore. And when Krishna looked around the sea coast, he noticed his own great city visible in the distance. Krishna was surprised and exclaimed, "What's this? Where am I? Who am I?" Then Lord Balaram told him, "My dear master, Lord of Vaikuntha, please consider who you are. You are asked by the demigods to descend to remove the burden of this earth. And that's why you came. Now please destroy the wicked and protect everyone else. Your cousin Dharmaraj, King Yudhishthir, has undertaken a sacrifice. Please see to getting it performed. You have established Yudhishthir as emperor, but he is intimidated by Shalva's younger brother and by other exceedingly powerful powerful villains. Please therefore go to Yudhishthir and, with the help of the Jadus, try to kill the enemies, kill his enemies who are persecuting your devotees out of hatred for you. And upon hearing what Balaram said, Krishna's mood changed. Krishna grew angry and said, "Who are those useless creatures, Shala's younger brother and those like him? I'll go myself and kill them at once. Trust these words of mine are true. They give my firm promise. In this way, the circumstances of the moment made Lord Krishna forget his confusion. Looking around again, Krishna remembered that he was the master of Shridwarka, the divine king of the Jadavas. He remembered he had been sleeping inside the palace. Then he saw the flute in his hand and himself and his older brother dressed like forest dwellers. Krishna perceived he had gone out of the city to tend cows, and this filled him with surprise and doubt. He laughed as he pondered it. Balaram understood what Krishna was thinking. Smiling, Balaram explained that this was all Brahma's arrangement and told Krishna the reasons why it had been done. So he told Krishna everything. Krishna then looked at his brother's face and smiled as if embarrassed. And since Krishna's body was covered with dust, Balaram wiped him clean and bathed him in the sea. At that moment, Garuda arrived. Because he understood the Lord's moods perfectly well, Krishna mounted him and returned unseen to the palace. The all-knowing Uddhava informed Devaki, Rukmini and others what was happening. He brought all the queens back to the palace to Lord Krishna's side. Mother Devaki greeted her son with blessings. Well aware of what time it was, she quickly went to prepare his meal. So, and then it goes further about the discussion. But we came to, now it is the conclusion. Like, so what did you understand from this narration? Like, different levels of devotees, but although they are situated in different levels, although they are exalted in their own way, but they all were so humble that they didn't want to accept any recognition as a devotee. The more one advances, the more one realizes that he couldn't become a devotee. Do you remember the one analogy I gave the other day? A neophyte devotee, how does a neophyte devotee think? He thinks he is the only devotee. And no one else could become. He believes that Krishna is God. That is okay. But he is the only devotee of Krishna. Krishna is God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is the only devotee. But then as he advances, what is the sign? He begins to recognize the devotees. And he begins to recognize others also. There are devotees, there are innocent, those who couldn't become a devotee, but with proper guidance, they will become a devotee. They're open. But the demons who are hopeless. So the demons are so hopeless, it's better to leave them alone. Don't try to preach to them. Don't try to speak the glory of Krishna to them. Because the more you speak about Krishna's glories to them, the more envious they'll be. And then, when one makes further advancement, then what happens? Yes. Then he begins to see that everybody else is a devotee, only he couldn't become a devotee. So now if I ask you, what is your status, your situation? It's always better to think that I couldn't become a devotee. Isn't it? There is no harm accepting that humble mood, because after all, can we force our way to the spiritual world? No. It's entirely up to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So Krishna's devotees' mercy that will enable us to get the devotion. Devotee's mercy will make us devotees. Krishna's mercy will make us progress in spiritual life. And it will happen. If we sincerely practice the process, we will see our heart getting purified. Our heart is getting more and more purified. And as the heart becomes purified, our attachment to Krishna develops. As our heart becomes purified, we begin to recognize the glory of Krishna. Like, if you reflect, when you joined the Krishna consciousness movement, when you joined ISKCON and today, is there some change? Did you understand Krishna little more? Did you realize the need for becoming a devotee of Krishna as being very important? So these are the sign of progress. And the feeling is Janmani Janmanishwari. My Lord, it takes life after life. I don't mind. But only allow me to be your servant all the time. I don't mind taking birth again, provided I can remain your devotee. So that is a devotee's prayer. Kito janamoho jathatu adasha. Let me be born even as an insect in the association of your devotee. So that is the mood of a devotee. And they enjoy the service to Sri Krishna so much that whenever they are absorbed, engaged in serving Krishna, they are perfectly happy. They don't have any other desire. Bhavatad bhakti rahaiti. Let me be engaged in your unconditional devotional service. So this is the simple process. And Divya Gyan Hride Prakashita. The transcendental knowledge will be revealed in the heart. It will happen. It has been described just as when the sun rises, you see everything in that light. Similarly, Krishna consciousness will dawn and everything will be revealed to us. Nayam atma prabhachanena labhya na medhaya na bohuna shrutena. It is not by scholarship, studies of the Vedas, with our educational endeavor that we can understand Krishna. It is by the mercy of the devotees, when you become engaged in the path of Krishna consciousness, in rendering service, then the process will work. So we all found the process, so let's stick to that. Process. Let's try to take advantage of that process. And let's remain grateful to all these wonderful spiritual personalities, starting from Srila Prabhupada, all the way to our Parampara, disciplic succession, so many luminaries in our line. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, the six Goswamis, Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Such brilliant personalities. So that is our family line, right? The most aristocratic spiritual family in this world. That is our life. And if we are getting the understanding how we have the highest spiritual understanding. It is not our vain claim. Like even other Vaishnava Sampradayas, here we can see other Vaishnava Sampradayas go to Vaikuntha. Their goal is Vaikuntha. Therefore, what to speak of other spiritual groups, even bona fide groups, even other four Vaishnava Sampradayas do not have what we have. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. The understanding is, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the understanding was Vaikuntha is the ultimate, Vaikuntha is the goal. The four sampradayas are actually showing the way to Vaikuntha. But here, through Brihad Bhagavatamritam, what we are understanding? Even beyond Vaikuntha is Ayodhya. Even beyond Ayodhya is Dwarka, Mathura, and then finally Vrindavan. So, that is our good fortune. Now, is it some sort of mental concoction? No. I mean, we are getting the scientific understanding. And when you go to the literatures of the Goswamis, then you will see how systematically they pointed out Golok Vrindavan. Another way of understanding the same conclusion. Like, there are loving relationships. Don't you find various types of loving relationships? One loving relationship is between the master and servant. Master and servant also has a loving relationship. But higher than that relationship is the relationship with friends. Isn't your relationship with your friend deeper than the relationship that you have with your servant or maidservant? Then even deeper than that is your relationship with your father and mother. Your relationship with your friends are deep, but even deeper is your relationship with your parents. And even deeper relationship is the relationship between husband and wife. That relationship is even deeper than the relationship with mother and father. And even deeper relationship, although it should not be there, is the relationship with your girlfriend. Not your, I'm saying. That is, when the bond of marriage is not there, that relationship is even more deep. And so, this is how we are getting different levels of relationship with Krishna. Because whatever is there in the material nature must be there in the spiritual nature. Because if the material nature is a reflection, then whatever is there in the reflection must be there in the actual. So if these relationships are there, then those relationships must be there also. Now there and here, what's the difference between there and here? What's the difference between material and spiritual nature? The difference between material and spiritual is where you are the center, that is material. Where Krishna is the center, that is spiritual. That's the distance between material nature and spiritual nature. So the relationships that you have with you in the center, those relationship must be there with Krishna in center. Is it clear, this point? And but here those relationships are just perverted reflection. Reflection. There it's real with Krishna. So we have these relationships like servitorship. Now Vaikuntha is only servitorship. Krishna there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone else is Krishna's servant. But in Ajodhya, why Ajodhya is higher than Vaikuntha? Because we find some friendship there. There is some parental also. Dasharatha and Kaushalya has the parental relationship with Lord Ramchandra. But these friendships are not so developed. Mainly Vaikuntha, in Ajodhya also it is mostly predominantly servitorship. But the servitorship is reaching friendship to some extent. Like Hanuman's relationship with Lord Ramchandra. When Hanuman brought the news of Sita Devi to Ramchandra, Ramchandra embraced him. So servitorship, Hanuman is treating Ramchandra as a servant, but Ramchandra is awarding him some friendship. And there are other friendship also, like Guhak and etc. Bibhishan. Some more friendships are there. But in Vrindavan we find all relationships are perfect. Friendship is perfect friendship. Parental is perfect friend, parental. They are not thinking that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and treating Krishna. Mother Yashoda with a stick in her hand, when chasing Krishna, she is not thinking that this personality may be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then finally, we find Krishna's relationship with the gopis. And as I was saying, the Madhur Rash, the conjugal mellow, has two aspects. One is Shakya and the other is Parakya. Shakya is the loving relationship through marriage. The social approval of marriage is there. It's accepted as husband and wife. But in Parokya, there is no social consideration of morality. Just love. And the gopis are feeling that can't help but love Krishna. So what, that's the highest in the spiritual world. So when you see the reflection, then what happens? The highest in reflection becomes the lowest. What is highest in Vrindavan, lowest in the material nature. That is, Krishna's relationship with the gopis, if that is reflected here, if a man is having some relationship with somebody, some other person without being married, that is not desirable. So therefore it is said that that should be that these activities of Krishna should not be imitated. Because we must recognize that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And everything is for Krishna's enjoyment. So these scriptures given by our previous acharyas are so full of information, spiritual informations from spiritual world. So I hope all of you will relish these informations and make rapid spiritual advancement. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari. So I keep some time for question answers. If you have any question, you can ask. You have a question? Yeah.
We heard about and read about the two Krishnas. One is Vrindavan, who lived in Vrindavan.
Two Krishnas? You heard. Actually, there are three Krishnas. Krishna of Dwarka, Krishna of Mathura, and Krishna of Vrindavan. So Krishna of Dwarka is complete, Purna. Krishna of Mathura is Purnatara, more complete. And Krishna of Vrindavan is Purnatama, most complete. Okay?
Who never lived in Vrindavan?
Yes, that Krishna of Vrindavan never leaves Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. And all Krishna's incarnations are in Krishna's body. Because Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So all incarnations are there with Krishna. So when Krishna goes to Mathura, then it is Vasudev Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, who goes there. But Rajendranandan Krishna remains in Vrindavan.
So is it also true that Yashoda Maya gave twins?
Yes, one daughter and one son.
That son is the...
And that son is Krishna, real Brajendranandan. Brajendranandan means son of Nanda Maharaj. So son of Nanda Maharaj. So is it that son of Vasudeva became son of Nanda Maharaj? No. Son of Nanda Maharaj is there. And Vasudeva Krishna, son of Vasudeva, merged with him when Vasudeva brought him to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And at night, in the darkness of night, he didn't see. Of course, you have to understand it was Jogamaya. He didn't see. He only saw the daughter. So he placed her son, and his son merged with Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, and he picked up the daughter and brought her to Mathura.
Vasudev Krishna is fighting with all the demons?
And it is the Vasudev Krishna who kills the demons. Brajendranandan Krishna doesn't kill demons. Even in Vrindavan, the demons are killed by Vasudev Krishna, not by Brajendranandan.
But Brajadasi did not know that Krishna is there. Krishna is there.
They know only Brajendranandan Krishna.
They
but all the other incarnations are with Brajendranandan Krishna because they all are coming from him. Okay?
Even if they sing Vasudev Krishna with the four arms, they sing, "Where is our Krishna?"
Yes. The gopis were searching for Krishna after Krishna disappeared from Rasa Mandali. And Krishna thought, let me watch some fun. So he assumed his forearm form and he was standing there. The gopis saw him as Narayan. So what did they do? They offered obeisances and prayed, "Narayan, please, let's find our Krishna. We are searching for Krishna, so please bless us that we can find him." They are not interested in Narayan. But the problem is, when Radharani came, then he couldn't hold his two more arms. Those two arms disappeared and he became Nandanandan Krishna.
Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan, then are the gopis really lamenting?
They are lamenting because they think that Krishna left, and when they meet Krishna, they think that they are dreaming. Krishna is there. But when they meet Krishna, Krishna comes to them, they feel that they are dreaming.
They always have a feeling, and in dream,
they see Krishna, that they are with him.
So they are always in separation, in the feeling of separation?
Well, separation is there, union is there, like it's all happening.
Like once you said that Krishna doesn't go, because they may become anxious, they'll have a feeling of anxiety, but he wanted them to have a feeling of separation.
Mm-hmm. Because in separation their love is more intense. When they feel that they are separated from Krishna, in simple words, they are more Krishna conscious when they are separated from Krishna. Okay, any other? Yes?
You mentioned about various dhams about Vaikuntha. Where is Sridham Mayapur?
Oh, good question. Where is Sridham Mayapur? The topmost region of the spiritual world is called Golok. And Golok has two chambers. One side is Vrindavan, other side is Mayapur. In Vrindavan, Krishna is enjoying the loving relationship with the devotees. And this Krishna Prem that Krishna is enjoying in Vrindavan, as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is distributing that in Mayapur. So where is Mayapur?
Adjacent to
Vrindavan.
Adjacent to Golok Vrindavan.
Right.
In that case.
Right, yeah. It's adjacent to Golok Vrindavan. It is Golok Mayapur.
So the devotees who aspire to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, do they have access to Golok Vrindavan?
Yeah. Those who are in Mayapur, they have access to Golok Vrindavan. Those who are in Vrindavan, they may not have access to Mayapur.
One double entry visa.
Yeah, right. Dual nationality. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.